Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're celebrating this week the Feast of Pentecost. We just celebrated it on Sunday. Yesterday was such a special day, remembering Our Lady, Mother of the Church, Spouse of the Holy Spirit. It just, the Church in her wisdom brings us into these living realities of the whole people of God. And this week I have with us Butch Murphy, Jim Murphy, who is the president and founder of Veracruz Communications. He's been a longtime international leader in the Church, one of the really dynamic lay leaders that has done many, many things over the years. And it's kind of providential that he happens to be in town in Ann Arbor with us this week. And he's sharing with us his own journey and his own experience of the grace of Pentecost and how a new life in the Holy Spirit really is a reality that he had come into it in the early years of his life. And I really asked him if he could share that with us. And so welcome back, Jim.
Thank you so much,
Peter. Yes. So yesterday you left off really at the end. You began sharing with us actually the encounter you had with the Lord Jesus when you were in your teens, 17. And then at the end you described the facing the reality of how difficult it is to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, that you need help. And your sister asked you a critical question about, did you receive the Holy Spirit, kind of? Do you have a living relationship with the Holy Spirit is the key? That's kind of where we ended. And friends, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net, or you can catch it on our podcast. But anyway, welcome back, Jim, and maybe we could pick it up from there.
Thanks. Thanks so much. Glad to be here. Yeah, just to put things in a context, brother, that kind of initial encounter with Christ, I was 17 years old. That was Easter of 1970. By the summer of 71, a year later, I was up in Alaska prospecting for gold. So I was up in Alaska, but I've had this whole year now of my sister's kind of haunting voice about, are you going to follow Jesus by yourself, or are you going to do it with the grace of the Holy Spirit? It was kind of the challenge there. So I really took it to heart. And I mean, that whole year I was really searching. And when I was up in Alaska, I met a host of people. I was just camping and backpacking and hitchhiking and all kinds of things. So I met all kinds of people. And people would say, well, you know, why don't you come with us to church today? I was always faithful to going to Catholic Mass. But people would say, hey, we're having a little prayer service tonight at our house. Why don't you come over? Well, okay. And so, I mean, I saw a lot of things that summer. And I have to say, I mean, to me, the Catholic Church is just top-notch. I love the Church. And I really do believe that it's the full expression of salvation, all the whole thing. But I have to say, a lot of those other people sure seemed fervent and happy and zealous and wanted to talk about Jesus. And I remember always thinking to myself, I think the Catholic Church is so right. It's so correct. But all these other people who I think are really good people with good heart and good intention, I got to say, I really think the Catholic Church really does have the fullness of truth. I believe that. And yet all these other people, they seem happier. They seem more excited. They seem more comfortable talking about Jesus. And I remember saying to myself, if I could only find a place that has the tradition and the teaching and the sacraments and the authenticity of the Catholic Church, but a little bit more joy, a little bit more fire, a little bit more fun. I mean, if you like Jesus this much, maybe you should tell your face. Let's see some life here, you know? And so when I was in Alaska in those days, I completely on my own, I think God choreographed it. I walked into a church. I'd been panning for gold that day. I was filthy muddy. And I walked in this little church. I think it was like a Tuesday night. And it said, this week, mission. And I thought, well, wonder what they're doing there tonight. And it says, Assembly of God. And I didn't know what Assembly of God was. But I mean, an assembly is a group of people. And I like to think I know God. So these must be like kind of like God people. Maybe they're going to get together and, I don't know, have a potluck dinner or something. I walk in, just bold as brass, I walk into this church, and I don't know what I was thinking. You know, the first I walk in, this guy comes up and hugs me. He goes, "Oh, my brother, it's so good to see you." I said, "Sir, I think you got me mistaken. I don't have a brother." "No, you're my brother." Like, "Yeah, okay, buddy, whatever." And I walk right up. Of course, being a good Catholic, I don't sit in the front row, but I sit one back. And so I'm sitting there and think, I wonder what they're going to be doing here tonight. And wow, I mean, they're singing and clapping and praising and waving their hands. And I'm thinking, like, whoa, this is a little bit strong for me. And then they started, what I've come to know now was praying in the spirit or speaking in tongues. I thought it was some kind of like a dialect of local indigenous people. So I'm like, whoa, what is going on here? So I was a little taken back. And I finally got out of there that night and thought, man, I ain't coming back here again. Next night, I went back again. And bottom line is, I ended up praying with these people, and we were talking, and they were telling me about the Holy Spirit and all this stuff. And so they prayed with me, and I'm telling you, it was like 220 volts going through me. It was a profound experience. And I knew that something had really opened up or changed or something. Came back to the lower 48 back here into Michigan, and I said to my sister Marilyn, "Hey, you never guess what happened to me." So I joined her at a prayer meeting here in Ann Arbor. I thought, this is the same thing that I just experienced a few weeks ago up in Juneau. And it was really good. And then I just kept getting more and more involved, more and more involved. But it was interesting, Peter, because things really did start changing pretty profoundly. I was able to talk to people in a different way, help them with their problems. And I found myself saying things I didn't even quite understand all that I was saying. And they'd say, "Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. That's the answer I was looking for." And I'm like, "It is?" I mean, I was surprised. But truthfully, the biggest miracle for me was the transformation within myself. I would say my heart grew hot for God. And I think by his mercy, it hasn't cooled off yet. I mean, man, I have grabbed onto him and he has grabbed onto me. And everything changed. Everything changed. Attitudes, perspective, how to treat other people, the ability to kind of look within your own heart at things, to be able to see things with a new light, guidance by the Holy Spirit, being able to both speak and act guided beyond yourself. And that isn't like, "Hey, Butch, wear the blue tie today, not the red one." You know, I don't mean like, should I eat the Cheerios or the Wheaties? But there are moments where I really can sense that God is directing things beyond my own abilities and things like that. So man, I got to say, I never looked back after that. It just going to these prayer meetings and being in prayer and hearing more about the Holy Spirit, I'm a different person. And I would have to say that back there in high school when I gave my life to Christ, it was as real and as sincere as I can be. But it took the power, the anointing, the unction of the Holy Spirit to help me match my being into that reality, what it means to be a Christian. You know, I always say that people who think Christianity is easy, it's like, I'm not sure we're talking about the same thing. I find Christianity extremely hard, extremely challenging. And I think, frankly, I think our boss demands a lot of us. So people say, "Well, you know, Christianity, it's so simple." It's like, are we talking about the same thing here? So I would have to say that this encounter with the Holy Spirit that continues to this day is constantly challenging, and he breaks what he's got to break, and he heals what he's got to heal, and he puts you in your place when you need that, and he lifts you up when you need that, and he consoles you when you need that, and he pulls you forward when you need that. So it's a very dynamic relationship. But as beautiful as all the charisms are, and they are absolutely beautiful, I continue to marvel at the change within me, because I remember the me before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, wow, God, you've done a miracle here. Obviously, it is a miracle. But transformation comes by the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, just thinking about you were sharing yesterday, you touched on it again, when in high school you really cried out to the Lord on a deep level because things were not making sense to you, even though you were a pretty devout Catholic at that point, even as a teenager.
Yeah.
And there was some, you knew there was something more, and just with a raw heart cry at the age of 17, the Lord heard you. So as soon as you were talking about it, I was thinking of Jesus said, you know, those who hunger and thirst are going to have their fill. If you knock on the door, he's going to open the door.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And that seeking the Lord, hungering for the Lord, acknowledging your need for the Lord, desiring to know the Lord was the starting point for you. And then the Holy Spirit was the one who gave you the grace to be able to see and have greater faith, a more personal faith, a more awakened reality of the presence of the Lord. And then what ends up happening, that's not like a one-time deal, that, okay, everything's solved. It's just the beginning, a deeper beginning of the journey, which actually began in your life before that. I mean, that stuff that was happening as a young boy was real. It was real faith, and it was exercise. Yeah. And then deeper hunger grew in you, and then one thing after another happens. You talk to your sister, you talk to some strangers in Alaska, pick up a few things here and there, and all of a sudden there's something stirring, and it's the Lord drawing you deeper. There's more, Jim. There's more. And when we hunger for the more, when we don't just plateau, okay, I got the sacraments, I'm good. Yeah. You know what I mean? I got baptized, I got confirmed, but the longing of the human heart to know and love God the way the saints did. And when you hunger like that, the Lord figures out ways. It's that crooked, he took you all the way up to Alaska to meet some people to kind of stir the hunger in you and to bring something to you. And so, no, it's really, really tremendous.
Peter, I can't quote this exact, but I know Thomas Aquinas says this, and I think St. Augustine says something akin to this, that this experience of baptism in the Holy Spirit, this activity of the Spirit in our lives, isn't a one-time event. There's this exhortation from them to continually be renewed in the Spirit. It isn't like you said, like, yeah, I got it, put that in my souvenir box, and let's move on. Mm-hmm. It's something that's constantly at work within us. And even, like I said, I was confirmed in the fourth grade and baptized in 2 weeks and all that. That's all part of the story. None of these things are standalone, isolated events. God is orchestrating this whole thing. Years later, after fourth grade confirmation, one day I was in prayer, and I for want of a better word, I had a sense of what was given to me in the fourth grade. I wept for joy as an adult man, mm-hmm. just for what I saw.
Yeah.
That happened years before that.
Yeah, and I think the beauty of the church is ritual, the liturgy, the Paschal mystery that we walk out every year. The church is reminding us, both bringing us the graces in the sacraments and in the Word of God, but reminding us we're pilgrims on a living journey. We're all meant to go deeper and deeper. And the whole purpose of life is to continue to say, yes, Jesus, whatever more you want, I desire you. And as we're following him and allowing him to transform us, and hopefully in this life to bring us to a fullness of holiness that we might be able to go right to heaven when we die. But anyway, you know, that the Lord's dead serious about this in every one of our lives and wants to bring us into the fullness of what he's desired and he's planned for each and every one of us in the Holy Spirit. So friends, hope you can join us again tomorrow. Jim's going to be here. Let's all open our hearts more fully to the grace of the Holy Spirit. God bless.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.